I have a burden on my heart this morning that I want to just begin in Isaiah and talk a little bit about rest and about how that ties in with the Sabbath and what God had commanded and some of those things. I want to start in Isaiah 11 and 10. There's so much on this subject, really. There's many scriptures that we don't have time to read this morning, but I would just want to look at some of them and think about the rest that God has set aside for the people of God. In Isaiah 11 and 10, it says, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse." You know who that was? That was Christ. There's going to be in the prophetic day a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. You know, this is a prophecy that God gave Isaiah of the gospel day, that there would be a day when the rest that Christ came to bring us would be glorious. And it would be something that would fulfill people's lives. And something that God wanted to give people, a gift that he wanted them to have. So I want us to keep that in the back of our mind, that there's one that came and his rest is going to be glorious. And I want to look at the way this ties in with there's a lot of different thoughts in the world today about rest, about the Sabbath. And I want to look at some of the scriptures that, beginning in Exodus 20 and 8, we read here the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20 and 8 says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." This was part of the Ten Commandments, and it refers back to Genesis 2 and 1 and 2, where at the end of the first chapter of Genesis, God had wrapped up the work of forming the world and all the things that are in it and all the heavens about it. And he wrapped that work up on the sixth day, and it says in the second chapter of Genesis that God rested from his labors. And so this here that we just read is part of the Ten Commandments, as we said. Sabbath means, this word here, the Hebrew meaning is intermission. That is specifically the Sabbath. In the New Testament, the Greek where it says Sabbath is basically the same thing. It's a day of rest, a day where we cease, where God ceased from his labors. And so I want us to think this morning a little bit about this was a command of God. And from the very beginning, it says God rested from his labor on the seventh day, and he sanctified that day. And from that day forward, God rested from his labors. He never went back to the creation work again because he was done with it. And he rested not only on the seventh day, but he's rested ever since from the creation work that he was doing. And I want to look at 2 Corinthians 3 and 3. Just feel like the Lord has given us a burden here about rest. 2 Corinthians 3 and 3 says, "For For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. I just want to start getting a picture of the whole picture, the Old Testament, the New Testament, the rest that God set up, the rest that God promised us that would be glorious in our day, and how it ties in with the Sabbath. Here he says that ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone. What is he referring back to? The very Ten Commandments that was written. Now, did Jesus just nullify and do away with the Ten Commandments? Paul says here, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. I want to look at a few other scriptures going along with this. In Colossians 2 and 14, another passage. Colossians 2 and 14 says, this is Paul speaking. He says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he, Christ, made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man, therefore, judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. I want us to think a little bit about what this is saying this morning. When we look over here on the wall, behind these trees, you see a shadow. And if you just saw the shadow, you could start to gather some idea of where the shadow was coming from. It looks like a tree, but it's not a tree. It just has the semblance of a tree. And so Paul, I believe, is telling us here, he said that these things he just spoke of are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. The real truth of what God has given in the past, circumcision was one thing that was given. He gave that to Moses. He gave that to Abraham. All through the centuries before Moses, he gave that. And you know, all of that had a meaning. That one day we were going to know what circumcision really meant. That was just something that he said, my people are going to be separate. Separate from the things of the world. Separate from sin. Separate, cut off the things of the world. You know, there came a day when the Lord began to explain some things of what these things meant. You know, there was some meaning, deep meaning to some of these, to all of the things that God had made back there. And one of them was the rest. Rest is something that God instituted from the very beginning. But we hear no more of it for over 2,000 years. From Genesis 2 until we find, I believe the first place was when manna fell, that and like I say, there's so many places we could read that I'm going to condense it. But manna fell, and that is the first place we find. None of the patriarchs that we have any record of, from what I've read, have any reference to this keeping of the Sabbath. But when the law came and when Moses came, they began to go back to the very fact that God rested from his works. And there was a reason that God gave that. It's a shadow of something. The real man is Christ. What in Christ did he have that we were just seeing a shadow of when those Israelites rested faithfully at the peril of death? They could not do any work on the Sabbath day. And we find that that was a very strict thing that they held to. Well, I believe that there was something real up there that was casting that shadow before they got to the point where we could see what there was. And so Paul, after having seen the gospel day and the rest that the Lord came to bring, He says here, he said, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink. This is the 16th verse of Colossians 2. Or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Now he didn't say these things had no meaning. He didn't say they were worthless. But he said those things are of value. They're a shadow of things to come. The body is of Christ. And so let's move on and look at a few at some other scriptures. In Hebrews 4 and 4, we find another passage. Hebrews 4 and 4, we're going to read several verses here. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Now, it speaks of more than one rest here. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth or setteth aside a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus, that you can do your research yourself, that word means Joshua. They translated it, the translators put Jesus in there. That was speaking of Joshua. If Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. You know, the Lord wants us to cease from our own works. The scripture tells us, and maybe we'll read this after a while. The scripture tells us of sin, of doing our own works. Men live their own lives. They do what they want to. They disregard God. But you know, when we come to the Lord and we begin to do, we cease from our own works and we take up God's rest in our life and in our soul, and we cease from the things that that we would do, and we'll speak more to that in a minute. But it says here, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. So it's drawing a relation there. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, in Matthew 5 and 17, Matthew 5 and 17, it says here, think not, this is Jesus speaking, and he says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Everything in the law was fulfilled when Christ came. And so we want to think about that a little bit this morning. Christ did not come to do away with the Sabbath. He did not come to say the Sabbath had no meaning. He just came to bring the real meaning of it. He didn't come to tell us not to commit adultery. He came to tell us, if you commit adultery in your heart, you're guilty. You're guilty. He came to tell us that's the meaning of the real law. In stone, all he said was that if a man commit adultery, when he brought his law in and fulfilled that, he said, your heart has to be clean. That's a way deeper law than what was engraved on that stone. The Lord came to fulfill those things. The rest that the people of God had, the people of Israel, all through the centuries, was just one day a week. That's the rest that they had. God wants us to have a much deeper rest than that. He would like for us to have a rest of soul, that we don't go out and we're laboring under the weight of the sin that we have, the weight of the flesh, of taking our own way. That's what much of the world is laboring under today. And the Lord came to set us free from that. In Mark 2 and 23, a few other scriptures here. And it came to pass, Jesus got in trouble several times for his actions on the Sabbath day. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? Why do your disciples, why are you allowing this? If you're a man of God, then why would you not observe the Sabbath day like we do? And he went on to tell them. He said unto them, Have you never read what David did when he had need and was hungered? He and they that were with him. How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat but for the priest, and gave also to them that were with him. And he said also, And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. You know, what he said here was of great import. The Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. These men were doing something unlawful to do on the Sabbath day. And sometimes the Lord got in trouble because he didn't keep their laws just like they thought he ought to. And yet, he knew that this had such a much deeper meaning, I believe. And so he told them, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. I want to look on, go on here a little more. Matthew 11 and 28. And Jesus said here, listen to the words that the Lord said about rest. He said, Come unto me, Matthew 11 and 28, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath, and I'll give you a rest that you never had before. I'll give you a rest that you can rest and cease from your works, not only today, but from now on. I'm going to give you rest unto your soul. And he says here, Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Thank the Lord. You know, up to that time, if they did one thing on that day, they would be stoned in some cases. And yet, the Lord tells us, he said, You come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you real rest. I'm putting the real in there. Rest from the heavy burdens of sin and of the flesh, and rest from the old covenant. You know, they had many things. They had washings they had to do. They had sacrifices they had to do. They had many things they had to do to keep up with the commandments of God. And yet all those things had significance. All those things were a shadow of Christ. A shadow of something. The lamb that they slew. The lamb that they had on the Passover. Did you know that was looking forward to Christ? He was the lamb. He was the real lamb. And when they slew that little old lamb, that was just a shadow. That was just saying, there's something coming. You can't see it yet. But here's the shadow. You offer this lamb up for your sins. But one of these days, the real Lamb of God, he's going to be offered up for your sins. And then you can have rest. And your rest don't have to end when the Sabbath is over. Nowhere in the New Testament do we find the keeping of the Sabbath day after the day of Pentecost. And so I think about those things this morning. How that God had meaning in that. He had a lot of meaning in that. And he wanted to give us rest. I was thinking about a few of the little things. The Lord wants us to rest from doing life our way. Yes, have you ever got in trouble for taking it into your own hands? Have you ever got in trouble for you ever suffered? You ever had unrest because of the things that we did and brought upon ourselves? You know, the Lord wants to give us rest. He wants to give us rest, especially from sin. I think about the scripture that talks about us being sanctified and meet for the Master's use. We're not anymore for our own purposes. We have ceased from our works. The things that we did, the fleshly way that we handled things, the sin that we had in our lives. There is a new covenant. There is a rest that the Lord wants His people to have that is withheld and kept for the people of God. In 1 John 3 and 8, I want to read a scripture. And it speaks of here, he that committeth sin is of the devil. Do you know they never had rest from that in the Old Testament? They never had that commandment in the Old Testament. They just had to make a sacrifice for it. They never could rest from their works of sin. The world today says the same thing. You cannot rest from your works of sin. But here John writes, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil, and we might have rest. How many of us suffered under the works of the devil in our life? I was thinking about some of the songs that we sing, and there's many of them, but I'm just going to quote from a couple of them. In number 283, it says, if thou wilt know the fountain deep of sweet unbroken rest, the rest of faith thy soul shall keep. He that believes is ever blessed. In 218, it says, in the shadow of the cross I will rest. I believe it goes on to say, for with everlasting peace I am blessed. Isn't that a rest that the world today knows nothing of? When they're wronged, they fight back. When they're wronged, there's everything but peace and rest. But the saints aren't like that. The Lord has given rest to His people. It's number 144 speaks of sweet, unbroken rest. I want to look at the whole picture here. I always like to look back and see, how did the New Testament church operate right after the time of the apostles? Because we do have record of many things. We have a lot of writings in the first 250 years. And we find in those writings, the Sabbath was not taught any longer. We don't find it in the New Testament. Now, it was so very important in the Old Testament. We find it very important. At the risk of your life, it was important. And suddenly, at the New Testament, we begin to hear that we are to depart from sin, that we're not to have any more in our life, and all of these things, but there's no more. We hear about, don't let any man judge you in Sabbath days, and such things as that. Those things, all through the New Testament, and all through the writings of the early church fathers, as they call them, we find a number of places because they made mention of it. And they no longer kept the Sabbath as it was known. And so, in fact, the quotes that I read, which was a number, and I can get those for you. I have the books. But speak against that completely. And it speaks of, I wanted to copy out one of the copies there where one of the early church fathers relates it in this very way that we're talking about it this morning. The rest that God had given to His people. So, I want us to think as well, though, what about the Lord's Day? In Revelations 1 and 10, Revelation, John speaking here, he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and behind me, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. I want us to just hold that thought for a minute. In Acts 20 and 7 is another scripture that, and upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. You know, from the time of the day of Pentecost on, we find the disciples meeting on the first day of the week. I don't believe there's any record of them meeting in a meeting on the Sabbath day after that. Although Paul went to the synagogues and reasoned with the Jews and things of that nature. In 1 Corinthians 16 and 2, maybe we'll just turn there quickly. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now, what is known is that that's the day that the disciples met. If we were keepers of the Sabbath, we would surely be in transgression here, because the Sabbath is on the seventh day, not the eighth day, or not the first day of the week. The Sabbath was on Saturday, as we know it today. And so we would be in direct violation of all the scriptures beyond in back of the New Testament. So I just want us to think about those things and consider some of these things this morning. That the Lord has given us, I believe, a day that we meet. The first day of the week is a remembrance of the resurrection of Jesus. He resurrected on the first day of the week. And so when we meet, we are remembering him. But it's not under the yoke of the old law as it was written previous to that. It's a new law. It's the real thing now. It's the real rest. And we rest the rest of our life from our works, from our sinful works, from our fleshly works. We rest in the Lord from that time forward. So I thank the Lord this morning. In Romans 14 and 5, I'm not going to be much longer. I'm just giving you what felt like the Lord gave me. Romans 14 and 5, one man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. So this morning, whatever we do, I believe that the Lord wants us to be, to do those things that we know in our heart. That's what God wants me to do. I believe that, he says here, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. But he says, he that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, doth he not regard it. I want to look back now to one of the earlier scriptures that we mentioned in Hebrews 4, where it talks about he also... I'm going to turn back there, Hebrews 4 and 10. For he that is entered into his rest, I'll start at 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. So I just leave this with us this morning, that the Lord would help us and teach us to rest in him and to have the rest that the Lord brought. If we continue to do the things they did in under the old law, that's all we have for that. But I was thinking about, I wanted to make a little more mention about the first day of the week, and I'm just going to insert my opinion here. Paul did once in a while, and I feel like it honors God when we take a day and we set it aside for the Lord. That's honoring to the Lord. So because we're not bound to it, do we not do it? Because we're not bound to it, do we just do what we want? Do we catch up all of our loose ends and do all the things that we want to do? I think back in Isaiah there where the Lord told the people that were fasting. He said, on the day of your fast, you exact your labors. You finish up everything else that you was going to do. Well, the Lord wanted them to zero in on him. He wanted to talk to them. That's part of the reason of fasting. He wanted to talk to them. He wanted to draw close to them. And he said, on the day of your fast, you just go doing everything else to catch up. Is this such a fast as I've chosen? No. He had more and deeper things in mind. And you know, for us, if we just throw off the fact that, oh, I can do anything, Sunday's just a great day to catch up everything. This, I said it's personal opinion. But I just put that out. I feel like we would be blessed to spend some time in devotions to the Lord on the Lord's Day. It is a commemoration of what he's done. It's a commemoration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And every Sunday when we come together, do you know that's the day the Lord was resurrected? Do you know that was the proof in the early times that the gospel was true? The proof was that Christ was resurrected. And so they proved that. They had that proof. And that's what they worked from. And so when the gospel was come against, they used that. Do you know today, we still live by that proof. Christ was resurrected. We can believe in eternal life because he was raised from the dead. By his own power, he was raised from the dead. And so when we look forward to those things, let us cherish him and worship him and serve him. He's calling us not to just give way to the flesh. Well, I don't have to, the commandment isn't there anymore. It's like many things that the Lord commanded. How many things we could just live to the flesh, couldn't we? And feel like we're okay. But there's a deeper calling. A deeper meaning. The Lord wants his people to draw close to him. He wants us to have a rest in our soul that the world looks at and says, I wish I could have that. I wish I could have that kind of knowledge of God. I wish I knew my sins were forgiven. I wish I had rest in my heart. The world is longing for rest in their heart. And we don't look at them as we ourselves have been there. But the Lord helped us out. Other people helped us get there to the Lord. Let's help others to get there. Instead of exacting all of our labors, let's think just a little deeper than that. Lord, bring me closer to you. Teach me on the inner man, write on the tables of my heart your laws. Lord, I want to spend a little time in the afternoon. I feel like it's a wonderful thing. Spend a couple hours resting and praying and seeking God. Lord, teach me your ways. Way down deep, so my heart sings. Teach me the things that my heart responds to. Teach me things that no man can teach me. Teach me things that I can't just read and pick them up. They're picked up because you have visited my inner man. There is a rest to the people of God. There is something given to us that is precious. It's much more precious than a day that is set aside. It is a rest that happens the rest of our life. No more do we have to go back and struggle under that oppression of our own works. No more. Thank the Lord this morning. Oh, I appreciate the reality. I appreciate the real tree. I'm glad we don't just have a shadow on the wall. We got something so much more than that. The Lord has something so much more than that for us. When it comes to the rest of God, He says, labor therefore to enter into that rest. You know, we won't enter into that rest haphazardly. We won't enter into that rest just catching up all of our things all the time and never spending some of that valuable time that we were created for. I believe the Lord wants us to do that. Maybe we can visit some that need visited. There's a lot of visiting. There's too many people to be visited for one or two to visit. But when we all reach out to one another, you know, this is a good day to do some of that. Have somebody over and those kind of things. I just want the Lord to help me to enter into that rest completely. And to, I believe, the songs we sing, many of them speak of that rest. And I believe that we can go deeper into that rest. And I want to do that. Y'all pray for us today.